We have to really look at it from a perspective of what's God's perspective in the whole thing. And know that if you're where God wants you to be, then you have success. And even in my own perspective, I wasn't chasing that. I was chasing what I wanted, and I found that there was never enough. What He has allowed for me to do now is to understand the value of serving Him in the way He wants me to, and then trusting Him with the results.
Welcome back to the Lead Like Jesus podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us for this edition. This is Karen Conley, co-hosting with my husband, Chris Conley, who is a trustee for Lead Like Jesus. We are absolutely loving the conversation that hopefully you heard part one of. If not, go back and check out a previous episode so that you can get caught up and join us today for part two of our conversation with Doug Erickson. Doug is the owner of Hastings Automotive, an incredibly successful business in Hastings, Minnesota. But more than that, you are making an impact in your community, and we are so glad to have you back with us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Doug, before we jump in with some of our additional questions about servant leadership, I want to give just a quick summary. One of the things that you talked about was that you were experiencing success, but in the midst of that success, began to maybe have some marriage struggles. And obviously, this is so normal in our society that all of a sudden, as we become more and more successful, we get busier and busier. And typically, busyness is the enemy of intimacy, and it begins to threaten our most important relationships. And what I love is, you know, when you talked about that, we really heard the tenderness in your voice and how God began to work through Bible study fellowship and your wife, Angela, and how you said, you know, I got to figure out what this book has to say. So that's obviously a great starting point for any of us in our journey with Christ, is just to go and figure out what Jesus has to say through His book. But then we just saw so many great things about the way God is growing you both personally and professionally. And where we left off, you have taken six different groups, friends / employees, leaders, through this leadership encounter. Begin this podcast telling us a little bit about just the impact upon your life, your family, and your organization through going through these leadership encounters.
Yes, I'm going to start with talking about our vision statement, because I think it encompasses a lot of even my personal life. In that we had a vision statement on the wall that was a reasonable and good, I think. And after Lead Like Jesus and seeing the servant leader part, really felt the desire to incorporate that in our vision. And so we changed our vision statement. And a few of us that went through Lead Like Jesus, we really started tearing our vision statement apart. And a couple of the things that we changed, and I'll just recite it to you so you can kind of understand it. Our first thing on our vision statement is to build caring, lifelong relationships with customers, coworkers, and the community. And that was one that we added because we wanted something that was lifelong. It's not a matter of whether you buy a car here or not. We're here to develop caring, lifelong relationships no matter what happens. Maybe if you just stop buying, if that's how we begin the relationship. And then the next thing is to develop enthusiastic advocates for our dealerships. We want defenders. We want people that are out there talking about how they were treated here, because the experience here, they're more than just satisfied. They want to tell people about who we are. And we have some defining words that are loyalty, compassion, integrity, trust, and teamwork. And then the fourth thing on there is it's kind of the very foundation, and that's to demonstrate the heart of a servant. And I tell all of my coworkers, if we do this well, you'll see me as being the lead servant, that I got out here to serve you, to give you what you need in order to do what you've been called to do here at the business. And the final thing is to enjoy the journey together. Life is a journey, and so we want to have joy in that. So we changed our vision statement, but in order to get the impact of that, we wanted to do something special. So at that time, myself and three other stockholders, and together, my wife and I and all of the stockholders and their wives, we had them over to my home. We had all of the managers from all of the businesses. So the finance and service manager and the parts manager and the sales managers, all the managers, we had them over to my house, and then we put on white shirts and black pants and we served them. We got really good steaks and fillets and just made them a really wonderful meal, and then we served them. And then we rolled out the vision statement talking about being a heart of a servant. from there, which is really cool, from there, we asked them to join us in serving all of the people that work here, all of our employees. So we invited all of the co-workers and their significant others to it was actually a church in our town that we used, that we did the same thing. And what was really interesting, a God moment in there is one of the manager's wives worked at a place that supplies uniforms for restaurants and things like that. And she sent us a box of clothing for that night, and she was participating. And we didn't even open it and look at it. She just sent a whole bunch of things. She just told the owners of the company what we were doing, and they just put a bunch of things together and sent it to us. And a couple of days before that event, we opened it up, and we had exactly the right number of shirts and bow ties and aprons and everything we needed. So when we served our coworkers, we were all in uniform, and it was just an amazing evening that God orchestrated. And that's how we rolled out our vision statement.
Doug, as you're retelling that story that now was many years ago, I think about what you said in the first podcast, that you got to a place where your business was profitable but not fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And then to fast forward to that moment where you could see that you were serving those closest to you, those stockholders, and inviting them into a journey. That had to be such a defining moment for your faith to see God just go ahead and provide those things for that night to affirm what you were doing.
Yeah, I don't have words to describe it. Obviously, you can hear I get emotional even thinking about it, because it has transformed everything here. It's transformed the way we look at each and every breathing heart that comes into this place. Jesus tells us that the two most important commandments is love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors as yourself. And oftentimes the people that come here, oftentimes I don't like them, but God loves them. And so he changes everything in my heart and all of our hearts to understand that each person that participates in what's going on here is one of God's children, and he loves them dearly. And that's how we're to treat them.
When you said, sometimes I don't like them, but God loves them, that reminds me of one of my favorite quotes from my daughter. My daughter says, you know, Dad, I totally get this whole unconditional love thing that's from God. I get it. I believe it. I understand it. But I do have conditional like.
Right.
When I hear you walk through your vision statement, what I really hear is a completely new definition of customer service. So in the business world, we hear that term all the time, but it's customer service with the goal of profit at the end. And that's important. That's very important. But you're talking about a customer service with a completely different type of profit. It's an eternal profit. It's holistic. And so you're going to serve people, and some people may never respond, and some people may never see it. Some people may never get it. But what I just really heard, both in your definition of your vision statement, was a type of commitment to the customer to serve them holistically, not just for the sake of a dollar, but for the sake of being a servant leader and ultimately pointing them to the one who is the very essence of love.
Yeah, it's not a condition, and it's certainly not a condition to even a customer. It's a condition to anyone that drives by here. If someone's driving by here looking for directions, then that's an opportunity to start a relationship. And I share with all of my coworkers that I would much rather start a caring, lifelong relationship and never sell a car or service a car than service or sell a car and make an enemy. It just does no good. So the fact is, it's more important than anything is establish relationship. And if they grow in trust and want to put their trust in us, well, then we'll trust that God will work those details out. But if we get it mixed up and we really work about profit first, there's never enough, and it never fulfilling.
One of the things that I'm hearing as you're describing this story, it seems like there was a moment where you invited your employees into a place that was very personal. They crossed over a line from being just the people that got the job done to you inviting them into what was important to you and loving them. Are there any stories that stick out in your mind? A lot of times you went and you applied for a job at Hastings Automotive, and all of a sudden this boss is serving you, and you've never had this kind of experience in the workplace before. Were there any stories that you were able to see firsthand, someone maybe receiving that type of love for the first time from a boss?
Yeah, how much time do you have? I'll give you a story that's going to happen tomorrow that it's just a story of many that God has done here. Tomorrow, Angela and I are going to go to Teen Challenge, and one of our coworkers here is going to address 300 people in an addiction program. And her story is amazing. Probably 10 years ago or more, she was married to another coworker here, our finance manager. She did not work here. And one day, I don't know, probably was 6, 7, 8 years ago, and he wasn't a believer as well. He was kind of a good-for-you kind of, and he was not objecting to it, but he was just like, yeah, I'm not so sure. And one day he walked by my office, and he turned around and walked back in, and he said, I think you need to pray for me. And he said, my wife just got fired. She was a registered nurse, and she got fired for stealing pain meds. And we watched her go through this addiction that she'd been on, and she had been addicted to pain meds for a season of time. We watched her, and in fact, when she got fired, she came and worked at our house, did some gardening. We gave them a few dollars to help them because now they lost that income. And we watched her struggle with her addictions, and she would stop for a while and start and stop and start. And mind you, she's not a coworker. She's a wife of one of our coworkers, and I don't know, it was 3, 4 years ago, she called Angela and myself and asked if we would be with her when she... We took actually her and her husband to a Teen Challenge gala a few years prior or sometimes, and she asked us if we would be there. So I took him down to meet with my wife and Jennifer in an area here in town, and she told him that she needed to go to Teen Challenge. She had to get fixed, and it was a very trying time. And he stood up and said, I told you what was going to happen if it happened again, and that was he was going to leave her. She was in Teen Challenge for the year program, just really fell in love with the Lord. She graduated after a season of time, you know, a few months. My partner, and I had thought about her working here, but I never really pressed it, but one of my partners here said, do you ever think about her working at the dealership? And I said, it's funny you say that because I've thought about it a lot, but I didn't want to bring it up. I wanted to let God do what he can do rather than me force the issue. We hired her. She does our appointments at the dealership, just does an amazing job. She's also, actually, as we're speaking, her and Angela are leading a women's Bible study over at our Chrysler dealership right now. So,
wow.
That's a story.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are a few things in life more rewarding than walking with someone through a season of adversity and see them get over the top and be able to celebrate those victories with them. That's tremendous.
She's been at the dealership now for over 2 years, and she is just a shining light in the store. Like I said, she and Angela, they started the Bible study here for the women, and I think all but two of the women that work in the two dealerships here are involved in it, and the ages range from 18 to 70.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Doug, it's hard for me to imagine anyone listening to this and not having their heart really move, and really your life story causes us to ask important questions in terms of what are we doing that has a lasting impact. For men and women out there that maybe are still where you were before 1994, that are just chasing success right now from the world's definition, what would you say to them?
Certainly, I think our world has a definition of success based on job title or position or income or some kind of outward reward. And from my perspective, none of those can satisfy anything. And I think that, again, I look at that step, how God directs steps. I don't know. I can't tell you how he has directed my steps as he has, but what I really learned, and one of the things I see is that God has a plan for each of our lives. And in order to find success, especially those who call themselves Christians, those of us, we have to really look at it from a perspective of what's God's perspective in the whole thing. And know that if you're where God wants you to be, then you have success. And even in my own perspective, I wasn't chasing that. I was chasing what I wanted, and I found that there was never enough. What he has allowed for me to do now is to understand the value of serving him in the way he wants me to, and then trusting him with the results.
As I listen to you give that definition of success, I could not agree more. And then as we've heard you tell different stories about transitioning from just a successful businessman to a successful businessman who understands how to use who he is as a Christ follower to love others, to influence others. One of the things I want to ask you is sometimes when we say something like, oh, this person's a Christian business leader, some people have kind of abused that term and they'll say that they are and they'll use it to get business, but maybe they don't live up to it or model it as well. So we have to be careful with different terms like that at different points in time. What would you say have been some of the best practices, not necessarily to advertise yourself as a Christian businessman, but just as a man who loves people because of the way the Lord loves you? And so you're not necessarily putting a billboard out advertising this is what you do, but rather what have been the best practices for you to just live out that servant leadership? And because you've lived it out, people are discovering who you are along the way.
Yeah, I think the first thing is you hit on it a little bit, is we just do not want to advertise that we are this or that. The last thing I would want is to use my faith as some kind of leverage to try and find business.
Agreed, yeah.
God directs that, and so what I want to do is demonstrate it. I want our being to be something that people would say, you need to go there because this is how you're treated. This is what, not because they call themselves Christians or they're a Christ-centered business or something like that. And I think that oftentimes we get hung up on, in the business world, we try and figure out how to best market. And certainly we see that that is a market, but I don't think that that's a way to demonstrate it by any stretch. So the most important thing is to spend a lot of time in prayer and a lot of time in studying God's word and knowing what it says, because oftentimes we want to agree with most of it, but if there's something we're doing that maybe isn't exactly in line, then we try and make excuses for it. And I would say, I want to stay in line with everything it says. And so demonstrate it, but in this case, don't flaunt it, I guess.
When I hear you say demonstrate it, I can't remember who is the author of this quote. Everyone's probably heard it before. Preach the gospel and use words if necessary.
I oftentimes push back on that. However, here, that's exactly what we want to do. And I push back on that because I have a lot of good friends, or friends that I'd call good friends, that are really, really nice people. And if you didn't know better, you would be sure that they were followers of Christ. And yet, I'm still working on that situation. So I also, when the opportunity comes up, I certainly want to make sure that I point to Jesus in every way I possibly can. Now, that said, in the dealership, I want us to not flaunt that by any stretch. I want to demonstrate it and then let people find out based on the fact that we are servants.
Absolutely.
That makes sense, but
yeah, you're exactly right. Because initially, you're just gaining trust. Then once that trust has been gained, then absolutely, we have to use the words. I totally see that and agree with that. And the other thing is, we begin to kind of wrap up and see how God has used you. My other observation would be, it's very simple. What I'm hearing is that people are simply responding to the kindness of God through you in the way that you serve people.
Yeah, I hope that's true. I think that's true. I would have to agree with that.
Doug, I know we're almost out of time. You mentioned bringing those three stockholders over to your home to begin with. I'm assuming they weren't all Christ followers. Is that true?
They are now. All of my partners are. We, you know, they've all been through Lead Like Jesus. We share this very common, this vision. And all of those guys have been in study every other Monday morning. We are in study of some type of Bible study together for now 7 years.
But was it always that way as you were?
No. One of the guys, that, in fact, that's a partner, came back and he was very against faith. I can tell you what happened with him as well, but it came into this very difficult time in his life. He asked me what I would do. I said I would pray and I would find a pastor or someone that you've been around that you have some trust with and explore it, and he accepted Christ. That's been a number of years ago, but
I just think that's worth noting, because as a businessman or businesswoman listening to this, it's not that all the pieces line up. It is taking that step of faith each day and trusting that if you are faithful with a little, that God will go ahead of you. And as you alluded to in Proverbs 20:24, he's going to direct those steps.
A couple things. One is we don't look for hope for Christians to come to work here. Now, I would say that it can go either way. If you're a Christian and you come to work here, I always suggest be tested to go further, because we're called to be disciple makers, and we're going to expect you to step out in your faith at some point to give the chance to this opportunity to share the faith that you have rather than to hide it. And if you're not a believer, our vision statement is what we work off of, and certainly it's clear that we want to demonstrate the heart of a servant. And the other side of it is, well, no one will ask you to make anything other than the fact you're going to be introduced to Jesus. And at some point, you're probably going to come face to face with making a decision. But it's clearly, we don't have any requirements there. And one other thing that before we close, is I want to share a little bit about God's provision. So I shared with you, on my own, I was making more money than I ever had hoped for or expected. And what I've come to learn that it's never been mine anyway. It's always God's. And the significance is now I'm a steward. And so while God has been really more than I could ever hope for Angela and I, the other side of it is that that's a responsibility, because he doesn't give it to you so that you can live extravagant lives. And he gives it to you so you can steward well and invest wisely in kingdom work. And so that's been a challenge and a blessing that Angela and I have participated in as well, because we understand we're stewarding his stuff and we want to steward his businesses and his resources really wisely.
When I hear you say that, it's such a good reminder that the greatest joy in our life doesn't come from receiving, it comes from giving.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect picture that if we want the abundance of joy, the more we give, the more joy we'll have.
Doug, thank you so much, not only for joining us on the podcast, but just for being willing to live a life impacting your community and those that you come in contact with, and sharing that story to encourage all of us to really look and make sure that we are allowing God to use us where he has put us. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next time. In the meantime, go check out leadlikejesus.com.